Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the conclusion of our two-part series titled Our Burden Bearer. Let's get right back into the lesson.
Don't you think it's interesting? You can't find a single verse that says rebuke bitterness, but you can find a verse that says take action to undo the wrong that was done that resulted in the bitterness. How many of y'all have ever been done wrong and while you were fighting your way through the bitterness, had someone rebuke you for feeling bad about how you were done wrong? Doesn't that really gall you? Wait a minute. Okay, I was done wrong. And you're blaming me for feeling bad about the fact that I was done wrong. How about some, how about something focused on the perpetrator over here? Why is the victim being blamed? Okay. Bitterness is something we all have to deal with, and it is worthy of our sincerest study and our best efforts to deal with it properly. And I think in many cases, now in some cases, you just have the strength, you just have the fortitude to just suffer yourself to be defrauded, just put it away, forget about it, and move on. And if you're that strong in your life at that point, praise the Lord, God bless you. But I think sometimes when we're really hurt bad, when the betrayal was like from a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a beloved pastor, we were done wrong by someone, not some enemy, some unsaved heathen. We were done wrong by a fellow believer. Okay, what's the scripture say? It's a messianic prophetic passage. It says that they're going to ask him, "What are these wounds in you? What are these wounds in your hands?" And he will say, "These are the wounds wherewith I was wounded in the house of my friends." Okay, sometimes when we are done wrong, it is too much for us to just get past it. And this becomes an instance when you have a burden, you are carrying a burden, and you need to give that burden to the burden bearer. Through prayer and crying out to God, you can find a way to get God to carry that instead of you carrying it. Because if you carry it, it'll wind up killing you, okay? This is really kind of a frustrating thing about human nature, and I guess I might say it's a frustrating thing about fallen human nature. If you ask anybody who is an expert who has done study in this, they will tell you there's a phenomenon in which the abused child blames themselves, and the abused wife blames herself. And in some weird thing, the raped woman feels guilt. She didn't do it. The rapist did it. Why does she feel guilty? This is one of these counterintuitive things about human nature, that the victim feels shame and struggles with completely unwarranted and strange concepts of guilt. Why would the abused wife, why would the abused child, why would the abused victim in the sexual molestation case, why do they feel shame and guilt? Why is this? And so it bears repeating that you can wind up being dealt some blows, that the only way you're going to get past that is to learn how to give that burden to the Lord. And so Absalom is reunited with his father, but things aren't right. they're seeing each other again, but things aren't right. Absalom's heart, it's wrong, wrong, all wrong. And to a certain point, you can understand why somebody feels like they do. But when you start taking steps like Absalom took, then you have taken the concept for trying to make right a wrong, you've taken it in a wrong direction, and you cross a line. And so Absalom began to gain influence. And this wasn't just an accident. He sought it. He courted people's hearts. He stole hearts away from his father. He stole loyalties of men. He was clever. He knew how to talk. And it was kind of like a dirty political campaign. You know, he would sit there in the gate of the city and say, well, I'll tell you what, if I was in charge, I'd take care of how you're being done wrong there. And to this day, this type of undermining legitimate authority and wooing people away, you'll see someone who is trusted, someone who is entrusted with a leadership position, then begins to abuse that leadership position to sow discord and division. And then eventually when they leave, how often have you seen this? They don't leave alone. They take people with them. To this day, this kind of thing is referred to as an Absalom spirit. Isn't that interesting? There are a few people in Scripture that get a spirit named after them. This is not a noble distinction. To this day, there are people who make reference to a Jezebel spirit, and there are people who make reference to an Absalom spirit. So Absalom is gaining influence. He's gobbling up influence among the men of Israel. He seeks to usurp the throne of David, and eventually he relocates. Notice this relocate. This is a key thing. Many times when this happens, they start off here, but eventually there is the relocate. So it's kind of a thing of secretly gaining influence while kind of being located here. But then when they finally feel strong enough in how much influence they've gained, there is the major moment of division when the relocate happens. Anytime you're ever in a relationship with someone and you see it headed toward they're leaving and they want you to go with them, be very, very careful. And so he relocates to the city that we know as Hebron, and he declares himself to be king. Don't follow my dad, you follow me. And accompanying Absalom in his rebellion was, unbelievably, Ahithophel. And previously, Ahithophel had been the counselor to David, and Ahithophel betrayed David and began to serve as counselor to Absalom in Hebron as Absalom sought to kill his father and fully take the throne. So it's not enough that he just wants to call himself king. He wants to kill off the king. So when he calls himself king, there's nobody else that could be competing for his title as king. So he has gone full-blown dark side by now. He's seeking to kill his father. Absalom sought Ahithophel's wise counsel on how to take out his father and his father's mighty men. And Ahithophel gave Absalom a very shrewd and smart tactical plan to pursue David immediately, but God had another plan. And God had arranged for a man loyal to David named Hushai to be ready to enact the plan. And so Hushai sent a warning to David. David had made a very shrewd kind of tactical move of his own. He had sent Hushai back to Absalom for Hushai to pledge loyalty to Absalom. So at this point, Hushai is kind of acting like a spy in the camp of Absalom. And David recognized that having someone who was actually loyal to him back within Absalom's inner circle would open up a secret line of tactical communication from his enemy. This was a brilliant move. It was a brilliant preemptive strategy on David's part, but greater than its tactical shrewdness, though, was the fact that it provided a loyal subject through whom God could work his will on David's behalf. And I want to encourage you that sometimes when you're done wrong and you think nobody sees and nobody's helping you, God sees, and God is helping you. And if you trust that, it can help you get through it. And so, regardless of our own human intellect and our own human abilities, sometimes we tend to think only strategically on a human level while not seeing the supernatural, the divine level through which God is accomplishing his work on our behalf. And the Faith Life Study Bible observes this about the divine supernatural work of God regarding this story in the Bible. Listen to this quote. In response to David's prayer in chapter 15 and verse 31, Yahweh raises up Hushai the Archite to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. Yahweh also ensures that the needs of David and his entourage are met while they are in the wilderness. That's a quote from a scholar named John D. Barry in a commentary on 2 Samuel 17. So not only did Hushai provide an alternative competing counsel that helped to defeat Ahithophel's counsel, it helped to preserve David and his men, but it also sent a warning to David of Absalom's tactical plan. So David and his men escaped, thank God. Thanks to Hushai's advance warning of Absalom's plan, David and his men outmaneuvered Absalom's army, and then they were prepared and they were able to take both evasive action and they were also able to take preparatory action for future battle engagements. And Absalom and those who were aligned with him eventually were met by David's troops in a battle in the forest of Ephraim. And here, the insurgents, the rebellion, those following Absalom, suffered the loss of 20,000 men. Now, when I tell you this was a church split, I don't mean it was a little one. This was a big kingdom split, however you want to word it. This was not a small movement. They were so strong that there were 20,000 men here that unfortunately became casualties. Wow, my mind just suddenly hears the words, and thereby many be defiled. Whew. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Have you ever stopped to think that witchcraft at its core is about exerting an undue influence on others? Oh, you will be under my control or I will put a hex on you. Witchcraft at its core is not about the spells. It's about control. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it's important to note that believers need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Believers need to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Ghost that allows them to take evasive action when necessary, and to avoid the ravages of the spiritual enemy. And this sense of being able to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God is enhanced by prayer, studying the Word of God, faithfulness to church, your level of commitment. Amen. And there are other spiritual disciplines, fasting, and these things help prepare us for spiritual battles ahead of time, and they empower us to be able to go on the offensive against Satan and his minions. Notice I said go on the offensive against Satan, not against your brother in the Lord. That's a very important distinction. Your brother in the Lord is not Satan. Sometimes you may think he is. You may feel like he is. David carried an enormously heavy burden. And it was a burden of having been betrayed. And it was a burden of his son's desire to take revenge against his own dad. I want to tell you that for the longest time, and probably until the moment of his death, Absalom consoled his heart, saying, this is about Tamar. This is about getting justice for Tamar. But folks, he was way, way past getting justice for Tamar. He was way over the line. Betrayal is a heavy burden to bear. Never is it pleasant to experience the betrayal of a friend or an acquaintance, but to be betrayed by a family member is a pain that defies description. And this was the type of pain and burden that David is suffering at this time, the betrayal that he experienced through Absalom's rebellion and through the betrayal of his trusted counselor Ahithophel. Despite the burden that he was carrying, he explicitly ordered his soldiers to deal gently with Absalom. That same softness and compassion in his heart that made him soft on Amnon when Amnon sinned, that same compassion is now making him soft on Absalom, even though Absalom wants to kill him. What a man. What a man. He says, please deal gently with Absalom. This is a quote from 2 Samuel 18:5. And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. It seemed clear that David expected them to spare Absalom's life and bring him alive back to the king. But that was not to be Absalom's end. Absalom actually had allowed his hair to grow long. He had gone way too long between haircuts. He had very long hair. In fact, the Bible indicates it was a source of pride to him. And he was riding on a beast. He was, I think, a donkey or some kind of animal. He's riding on a beast in the battle. And remember, they're in the forest of Endor. And he winds up getting carried into tree limbs, and his hair gets caught in the tree, and the beast runs on, and he's left hanging there by his hair. And his long hair that he had as a source of pride, it literally became his undoing. So he's hanging here by his hair, and Joab, despite David's order, Joab took occasion to slay the rebellious enemy of the king. And word of Absalom's death surely must have increased David's burden and his pain. I would imagine probably exponentially. David at this point is, I would think that David is smart enough to put two and two together and realize all those years ago, all that time ago, my lack of taking definitive action against Amnon has led to that, which led to that, which finally led to this. So he's now probably dealing with guilt on top of the pain of betrayal, on top of the loss of Amnon, on top of the loss of Absalom. I mean, when does it end? It's just like, and thereby many be defiled. But David knew where to turn for encouragement and for help. He could not control the circumstances that suddenly came against him, but he could control his reaction to those circumstances. David knew that his hope and his strength were found in the Lord. And so, as you ponder this thought, I cannot control what happens to me. Think about this. Despite Absalom's out-of-control rebellion and his efforts to usurp the throne of his father, David still extended love and mercy and grace toward him. But David, although he wanted to spare Absalom and possibly somehow see Absalom rehabilitated, Absalom's outrageous actions brought their own retribution upon his head as Joab killed him against the wishes of David. Whenever we fail to control our response to life's circumstances, we risk acting in ways that will invite and even demand the judgment of God against us. And this is the thing. You know, that I think there's an old phrase, one good turn deserves another. And oftentimes this is used as a euphemism for meaning the exact opposite. One bad turn deserves another. Okay. What's that famous scripture where Jesus said, do unto others as they have done unto you? Oh, no, that's not what it says, is it? But that's how many people approach it. And if we're not careful, this is a really crucial point. Whenever you have been done wrong, if you're not careful, if you don't find a way to work through it and give the burden to God, you can wind up doing wrong yourself because of the wrong done to you. And this is the path toward, and thereby many be defiled. Any time in my life that I'm struggling to make my work my way through bitterness, struggling to try to give that burden to God, I try to be super, super careful about who I talk to, if anyone at all. You're always safe in confiding in the Lord. Confiding in the Lord is never gossip. Confiding in somebody else might be gossip. Probably is. But confiding in the Lord is never gossip. Amen. When things go wrong, don't go with them. And so we approach the turning point in our lesson that God will bear the burdens that we surrender to Him. And think about this Psalm 55 reference. Listen to my prayer, O God. Psalm 55 records this prayer of David during a time of great distress and anguish. And it seems that it's at the treachery of a friend. Now, some believe that David was writing Psalm 55 concerning the betrayal of his son Absalom. Others believe that it was written when David was running from King Saul. But regardless of when it was written, it surely must reflect the kind of pain and suffering that David endured at the betrayal of his own son. So David cried out to the Lord for mercy, as he often did, living in a constant faith in God that would give him a continuing solace and strength. And in his extreme anguish, David knew no source of help greater than the mighty hand of God. He needed divine strength in order to meet the challenges and meet his betrayers face to face. Consider David's lament. The pain emanated from knowing the deep hurt of his betrayal. Had it been some enemy in the battlefield, he could have dealt with it easily, but he didn't consider his adversary this day to be an enemy. He considered it to be a loved co-equal and a companion and a familiar friend. Look at verses 12 and 13 and 14 of Psalm 55. And so his anguish was driving him to desire a way to escape all this. Some kind of place of solitude in the wilderness where he could find shelter from the windy storm and the tempest. Over the years, many times I heard Brother Billy Cole say, man, I can really identify with Peter. I've heard Brother Billy Cole say, you know, when Peter grabbed that sword trying to defend Jesus, and he swung that sword at Caiaphas, the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear, Brother Cole would say, he missed. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He was aiming to split his head half in two like a melon, and he missed and cut off his ear. And then Brother Cole would laugh real big and say, I can identify with Peter because I felt like that. Well, I'm telling you, when I read that David was like, man, just please, Lord, could there be some place where I could go to get away from all this? I identify with that. I've gone through situations where it just caused me to retreat inward, or certainly to want to retreat inward, try to find somewhere to get away from it. David referred to it in Psalm 55 and verse 8 as finding shelter from the windy storm and tempest. He felt like his life was undergoing a storm of difficult times. So here's this warrior of warriors. He's an army commander of commanders. He's not one to shrink from the rigors of the battlefield, but he found facing betrayal the most challenging hurt and a circumstance like he had never faced. And from this pain, he would happily run away if he could. Fortunately, he knew that the best remedy for dealing with the pain was that he took his burdens to the Lord. And so I want to invite you to join me in this determination to cast your burdens upon the Lord. David somehow knew, God bless him, somehow David knew that the best way to come out of his anguish and to deal with his pain was to cast his cares upon the Lord. He knew that the only sustaining power that could help him was the power of the Lord. It's certain that as long as David kept his faith and his confidence in God, nothing could move him from God's hand of righteousness. And so David wrote, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And then, as I read for you at the beginning, Peter encouraged early believers in the church to rely on the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." So the Lord sees us in our most difficult times of challenge and discouragement, and he desires to carry our burdens for us as we place our complete faith in him. So I invite you to join me in a determination. I will cast my cares upon the Lord. If this isn't pertinent for you today, store it away in your heart, because there will come a point in time in the future when this is pertinent for you. And if this isn't hitting home for you today, thank God that it's not hitting home for you today. The foremost key to successful Christian living is maintaining an abiding faith in the God of our salvation. Understanding that our Christian walk is not a solitary undertaking, but it is about walking together with the Lord. We must develop an intense determination to maintain our faith in the Lord and continually look to him for ongoing sustenance that we need for the Christian life. The Lord invited us to cast our cares upon him. He is faithful. He will not suffer our foot to slip. He's always there to sustain us, to keep us through even the most challenging circumstances of life. We don't need to just trust silently. We need to be willing to ask for his help. There's something crucial about crying out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, this is too much for me to carry. I need you to help me on this." Amen. And so an important aspect of faith is having the confidence to ask the Lord for the help and the provisions that we need. John wrote about this kind of faith in his first epistle. Listen to this quote from 1 John chapter 5. This is verse 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Amen. King David encountered betrayal, a source of trouble and hurt that many have experienced down through time. And his betrayal involved him having to flee to the wilderness and avoid the treachery of his own son. And in our day, we're not likely to have to literally flee and hide from some physical enemy. But the hurt, that pain of betrayal, that's still the same as it was in David's day. David was this masterful warrior on the battlefield and this man with impeccable strategizing ability. But David knew that his human battlefield skills were limited and insufficient to provide him deliverance and help that he so desperately needed. And so he knew that he needed the divine help of God. Amen. As we cast our cares and burdens on the Lord, we can truly discover how greatly he cares for us and desires to carry our burdens. I want to ask you to lift your heart to the Lord, and let's cast our cares upon the Lord right now, right here today.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.